I need to begin by telling you that my wife claims to love me.
Jeg må fortelle deg det til å begynne med at
kona
mi hevder at hun elsker meg. Hun sier, jeg elsker
Now,
deg, Tai.
I've always believed it.
Jeg har alltid trodd på det.
Until recently.
Helt til nylig.
Because my wife has leveled an accusation against me.
For hun har kommet med en anklage mot meg.
She says, Tai.
Hun sier, Tai.
You're weird.
Du så merkelig.
You're very strange.
Du helt rar.
For a man.
For å være mann, altså.
I said, what do you mean,
sir? Hva mener du med det?
I'm your man.
Ja, jeg jo din mann.
She said, no, you're very weird. You're strange.
Nei, du merkelig.
I said, why?
Hva mener du?
She said, because you love shopping.
Fordi du elsker å handle.
So my wife, she has this strange idea that only women like shopping.
Hun har denne merkelige ideen at bare det kvinner som elsker å handle.
But it's not true.
Men det ikke sant.
I am evidence to the contrary.
Jeg jo bevis på det motsatte.
I love shopping.
Jeg elsker å handle.
Can I get a witness from any brother here?
Det noen som kan gi meg vitne om det?
No? Victor.
Victor.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Shopping. You like shopping?
Okay.
So here's what makes it all the more strange.
Og her det som gjør det enda merkeligere.
Here's what I got to set the timer because we can't go over time. Here's what makes it all the more strange.
Det som gjør det enda merkeligere dette.
The place I like shopping the most.
Det stedet jeg liker å handle aller mest.
Is the grocery store.
Det I matbutikken.
I love food.
Jeg elsker mat.
And I love to find new products.
Og jeg elsker å finne nye
And so
saker.
I have a shopping method.
Jeg har en handlemetode.
It's very methodical.
Det helt metodisk.
I walk into the grocery store.
Jeg går inn I matbutikken.
And I go all the way to the right.
Og så går jeg helt
And I
til
walk
høyre.
Up and down every aisle.
Og så går jeg fram og tilbake I hver eneste kanal.
Because there are products on both sides.
Fordi det jo varer på begge sider.
If you're going to go, you need to see everything.
Hvis du skal inn der, så må du se alt.
My wife, she has a different method.
Kona mi, hun handler mat på en helt annen måte.
She goes to the grocery store.
Hun går inn I matbutikken.
And she bounces around.
Og hun spretter fra sted til sted.
Grabbing items on a list.
Hun henter ting på en liste.
A list.
Har du en liste?
Why a list?
Hvorfor en liste?
I say to her, Sue, listen.
Sue, hør nå.
Your method is horrible.
Den metoden jo forferdelig.
With that list,
med den der listen,
you just keep buying the same thing over and over again.
Så kjøper du bare det samme om og om igjen.
My method is superior.
Min metode mye bedre.
Because I am the only one who ever finds anything new.
For jeg den eneste som finner noe nytt.
She does not agree.
Hun ikke enig med meg.
So sometimes when we're at home,
så noen ganger hjemme,
I will see her out of my peripheral vision.
Så ser jeg henne ut av øyekroken.
Trying to sneak out of the house to the grocery store.
Så prøver hun å snike seg ut for å dra til matbutikken.
And I will say, Sue.
Ja, Sue.
Are you going to the grocery store?
Går du til matbutikken?
And she will say, Yes. Please don't go with me. It takes so long when you go.
Ikke kom med meg, vær så snill.
I say, Sue, this will be bonding time.
Ja, men dette jo tid hvor vi kan være sammen.
You and I together in the grocery store.
Oss to sammen I butikken.
For 3 hours.
I 3 timer.
She says, if you're going to go with me,
hun sier, hvis du blir med meg,
you must bring your own car.
Da må du ta din egen bil.
And you must get your own cart.
Og du må få din egen sånn vogn.
And you can follow me around if you want.
Og du kan følge meg rundt.
But we will not speak.
Men vi snakker ikke.
This is my wife and it's been a struggle.
Dette kona mi og det har vært
so
en kamp.
So we're in counseling.
Vi tar rådgivning.
And we're doing better now.
Og det går bedre.
And the reason we're doing better is because my wife was making a Mexican dinner.
Og grunnen til at det går bedre at kona mi lagde et meksikansk måltid.
Do you like Mexican food? Do you have Mexican food?
Liker dere meksikansk mat?
My wife makes the best tacos on earth.
Kona mi lager den beste tacoen I verden.
And she was making a Mexican dinner.
Og hun lagde meksikansk mat.
And it was almost ready.
Og det var nesten ferdig.
And she said, "Oh no, Tai, I forgot salsa."
Og hun sa, "Jeg har glemt salsaen."
Tai, please go to the store quickly.
Skynd deg til butikken.
Quickly.
Raskt.
And just get some salsa. That's all.
Få tak I noe salsa.
Nothing else.
Ingenting annet.
Just salsa.
Bare salsa.
And hurry and get home.
Og skynd deg hjem.
And I said, Sue, I am going to prove to you that I can shop like a man.
Och jag ska bevisa för dig att jag kan handla som en man.
And so I got in the car and I drove to the grocery store.
Hoppade I bilen, körde till butiken.
I walked in.
Jag gick in
and resisted the temptation to go to the right.
Och bara stod emot frestelsen att gå till höger.
I said no.
Nej.
Go to the salsa.
Gå till salsa.
I went straight to the salsa aisle.
Jag gick rätt bort till salsahyllan.
But there was a problem.
Men där var det ett problem.
As I entered the salsa aisle, there was a woman standing in front of the salsa selection.
Da jeg kom inn I salsa-avdelingen, så stod det
en kvinne
der.
Slowly examining the options.
Hun stod der og sakte og sikkert så hun på hver eneste.
But I was in a hurry.
Men jeg hadde det travelt.
So I came up behind her.
Så jeg kom inn bak
henne. And I just stood off to one side, looking, waiting for my turn.
Og jeg stod liksom sånn til den ene siden og ventet på at det skulle bli min tur.
And as I'm just standing there, and she's just looking forward.
Og jeg stod der og hun så bare.
Suddenly, out of nowhere, something really strange happened.
Och så skedde det plötsligt något väldigt märkligt.
This woman,
denna dama,
reached her hand back and tenderly clasped mine in hers.
Och hon bara tog plötsligt och tog min hand.
I thought, oh no!
Och jag tänkte, oh nej!
And as she's looking forward at the salsa,
och I det hon ser fram på salsa,
I'm getting nervous.
Så blir jag nervös.
And here's something you need to know about me. When I get nervous,
du måste skönna detta om mig när jag blir nervös.
I don't know why this is.
Jag förstår inte varför.
But when I get nervous, I grip a little tighter.
Och då tar jag lite hårdare I.
It's a nervous habit.
Det är en nervös handling.
So we're standing there holding hands.
Så vi står där och håller händer.
And this woman says to me.
Och damen säger till mig.
Medium or hot, sweetie pie?
Skal det være mild eller sterk, kjære?
I think, oh no.
Nei.
And as she is saying this, she is simultaneously
og I det hun sier dette,
turning toward me.
Så snur hun seg sakte til meg.
So I realize what is happening.
Ja, jag skönte vad som skedde.
And I begin to crane my head back.
Oj, jag går lite bakåt.
And I say to her.
Och så säger jag till henne.
Actually, ma'am, I prefer mild salsa.
Jag föredrar mild salsa.
As our eyes meet.
Oj, de ögonen våra mötes.
And she throws my hand from her and runs out of the aisle.
Och hon löper bort.
Which was perfect because I was in a hurry.
Det var flott för jag hade ju travelt.
And I needed some salsa. So I grabbed the salsa.
Jag fick salsa.
And I started leaving the store.
Och jag skyndade mig mot utgången.
And from that day until today.
Och från då av till nu.
That experience has been a living parable for me.
Så har det varit en levande
liknelse
för mig. Det är en metafor.
Because as I left the store.
För det jag gick ut av butiken.
She was running up and down the aisles of the store looking for who?
Så löp hon fram och tillbaka I butiken och så efter vem?
Sweetie pie.
Kära.
So it was a case of mistaken identity.
Det var ett tillfälle där det var fel identitet.
The message this morning is simply this.
Och budskapet idag morgon
And I believe that this is
ganska enkelt detta.
An accurate description of our society.
Och jag tror detta är en riktig beskrivelse av vårt samfund.
That imposter love is the defining characteristic of our culture.
Och det är att kärlek som ger sig ut för något, det är den definierande karakteristiken av vår kultur.
Now here's what I mean by imposter love.
Och jag menar detta med denna ger sig ut för kärleken.
Our world is on a mad search.
Vår världen är på en sån panisk jakt
for true love.
Efter äkta kärlek.
This is the universal desire.
Det är en sån världsvid längtan.
Doesn't matter where you go in the world.
Oavsett var du drar I världen.
Everybody wants the same thing.
Alla önskar sig det samma.
I know this to be a fact.
Jag vet det är sant.
Because I've traveled the world and I ask young people everywhere the same question.
Jag har rest världen runt och överallt frågar jag ungdom det samma frågsmålet.
I say, listen, I have $1 million here that I want to give you.
Hör här, jag har $1 million här som jag har lust att ge bort.
I say, no, make it $1 billion.
Nej, så en miljard.
$1 billion.
En miljard dollar.
That's like a trillion kroners or something. I don't know.
Det är väldigt mycket pengar.
So there's a lot of money here.
Det är massor pengar.
And I'm going to give it to you. Do you want it?
Och det ska jag ge till dig. Har du lust på det?
And all the young people say, yes!
Yes! Ja, sier de.
And then I say, oh, there's only one condition.
Det bare en, det et forhold. Det en betingelse.
You can never have contact again with the three people in the world you love the most.
Du kan aldrig igen få ha kontakt med de tre människorna du älskar högst.
And all the money is yours.
Alla pengarna är dina.
Do you still want it?
Har du lust på det fremdeles?
And only a few materialistic boys.
Och bara någon få materialistiska gutter
still want it. None of the girls want the money.
Ingen av jentorna vill ha de pengarna.
And finally, even the boys come to their senses. They do mature.
Och efter vart så kommer guttarna till vett också. Och de blir modna.
But nobody wants the money if it means they have to never have contact again with the people they love the most.
Ingen vill ha pengarna hvis det betyder att de inte kan ha kontakt med de elsker högst.
Relationships are paramount.
Kärlighet och förhållande till andra det är det allra viktigaste.
Love is our most desperate need.
Kärlighet är det vi trenger allra mest.
Jesus when he came to this world,
da Jesus kom till denna världen,
he spent a great deal of time defining what it is that he came here to give us.
Så brukte han mycket tid på för att definiera vad han kom för att ge.
Sometimes we call it the gift of salvation or eternal life.
Vi snackar om det som frälsens gåva eller evighetens gåva.
But in John chapter 17 verse 3 Jesus said this.
Men i Johannes 17:3 säger Jesus detta.
You know these words no doubt.
Detta känner dere till.
He said this is eternal life.
Detta är det eviga liv.
So he's about to give a definition,
Han
right?
Nå definere dette, ikke sant?
This is eternal life. This is what it is.
Dette det evige liv, det sånn det
This is eternal life that they might know you the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent.
At de kjenner deg den eneste sanne Gud og Jesus Kristus som du har
sendt. I want you to notice something about this passage.
Jeg vil at du skal legge merke til noe med dette skriftet.
Jesus did not define eternal life in terms of its duration.
Han definerte ikke evig liv som lengden på livet.
But rather in terms of its quality.
Men han snakket om livets kvalitet.
He did not say,
han sa ikke,
this is eternal life, to live forever and ever and ever.
Og evig liv å leve alltid, alltid, alltid.
That is a given.
Det jo selvsagt.
Rather, Jesus said, I'll tell you what eternal life is.
Jeg skal heller fortelle deg hva dette
Eternal life is a quality of life that is defined by knowing God.
Det dreier seg om å kjenne Gud. Det kvaliteten på det evige liv.
For example, if you said to me,
ta for eksempel dette. Hvis du nå sa til meg,
Tai, you said that you have a wife and her name is Sue.
Du sier at du har en kone som heter Sue.
And I would say yes.
Ja, sier.
And then what if you said to me, Tai, how would you define
hvordan,
your relationship with Sue?
Hvordan vil du definere forholdet ditt til henne?
What if I said, ah,
oh,
it's long.
Det langt.
It's minutes and hours
det
and days
minutter,
and months
timer,
and years.
Måneder, år.
It goes on and on and
det
on.
Fortsetter og fortsetter.
Forever.
I all evighet.
You would think something is wrong with my perception of the relationship.
Da vil du tro det noe galt med mitt oppfatning av dette forholdet.
Jesus did not define eternal life in terms of how long it is. He defined eternal life in terms of its quality.
Jesus definerte ikke evig liv som hvor langt det var, men kvaliteten på det livet.
He says eternal life is to know God.
Evig liv å kjenne Gud.
Now, Jesus is a Hebrew.
Jesus en hebreer.
And he has taken this word no from the Old Testament text.
Och detta ordet å kjenne har han tagit från en gammaltestamentlig text.
The first time it occurs is in Genesis chapter 4.
Första gången det förekommer i första Mosebok kapitel 4.
It says Adam knew his wife Eve and she conceived and gave birth to a son.
Adam kjente Eva och hon blev fruktbar och fött en son.
So the word no means intimacy.
Och detta ordet å kjenne det betyder närhet, intimitet.
In the most literal sense, sexual intimacy that brings forth a child.
I det allt det mest bokstavliga betyder ett sexuellt förhållande som skapar ett barn.
So Jesus comes along and he says, I will tell you what salvation is. I will tell you what eternal life is.
Och så kommer Jesus och säger, jag ska fortälla dig vad evigt liv är.
It is intimacy with God.
Det dreier seg om å være intim med Gud.
He's using the marriage metaphor.
Han bruker ekteskapsmetaforen.
To indicate the relationship that God wants to have with us.
For å vise oss hvilket forhold Jesus vil ha med oss, Gud vil ha med
oss. Of course, not a sexual relationship, but a spiritual and emotional and psychological relationship.
Det selvsagt ikke et seksuelt forhold, men et åndelig og et
We know this is the case because Jesus goes on and he says this.
Vi vet at det tilfelle for Jesus fortsetter
Notice
på denne måten.
These words very carefully.
Legg merke til disse ordene helt
nøye. After telling us that eternal life is to know God.
Etter at han har fortalt at evig liv å kjenne Gud,
Jesus
så sier han
says, Father,
Far, sier han,
I desire that those whom you have given me may be with me here where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me.
Jeg vil at de skal være der jeg så de får se min herlighet, den du har gitt meg.
So Jesus says, I want them to be with me.
Jeg vil at de skal være med
Now watch
meg.
This.
Legg merke til det som skjer nå.
For you, Father, you loved me before the foundation of the world.
For du har elsket meg før verdens grunnvoll.
So Jesus defines his relationship with the Father as a relationship that is defined by love.
Jesus definerer sitt forhold til far som et forhold I kjærlighet.
And then this.
Og så nå kommer dette.
O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you have sent me.
Rettferdige far, verden kjenner deg ikke, men jeg kjenner deg, og disse vet nå at du har
Now watch this, don't miss the point.
Ikke gå glipp av poenget nå.
And I have declared to them your name, and I will declare it, so that the love with which you, Father, have loved me, may be in them, and I in them.
Jeg har gjort ditt navn kjent for dem, og skal fortsatt gjøre det, for at den kjærlighet, Du har hatt til meg,
so the language
I dem, og jeg selv være I dem.
The language is a little complex.
Språket litt komplekst.
But Jesus simply says,
Men Jesus sier ganske enkelt,
Eternal life is to know God.
Evig liv betyr å kjenne Gud.
And to know God is to be in love relationship with God.
Og å kjenne Gud betyr å være I et kjærlighet.
This is what defines salvation.
Det dette som definerer frelsen.
Now I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Dean Ornish.
Jeg vet ikke om du kjenner til Dr. Dean Ornish.
A number of years ago, about 12 years ago now,
for 12 år siden,
Dr. Dean Ornish wrote a book called Love and Survival.
Så skrev Ornish en bok som heter Kjærlighet og overlevelse.
This book is nothing short of remarkable.
Den bemerkelsesverdig.
Because Dr. Ornish has engaged in assembling a vast body of scientific data.
Han har samlet enorm data I vitenskapelig sammenheng.
In which he demonstrates that human beings are not survival animals, but rather social love machines.
Han viser at mennesket ikke et menneske som bare skal overleve, men vi sosiale personer.
Dr. Ornish summarizes his work.
Han oppsummerer arbeidet sitt på denne måten, med disse ordene her.
He says, anything that promotes love and intimacy is healing.
Alt som forbedrer følelser av kjærlighet og intimitet, so, det helbredende.
There is a vital connection between psychology and biology.
Det en vital forbindelse mellom psykologi og
Dr. Ornish is simply saying,
han sier ganske enkelt,
that what's going on in your mind and your heart will impact your biological health.
Det som skjer I sinnet ditt vil påvirke den biologiske helsen.
Anything that promotes feelings of love and intimacy is healing.
Alt som fremmer følelse av kjærlighet og intimitet, det helbredende.
But notice this.
Men legg nå merke til.
Anything he says, anything that promotes isolation, separation, loneliness, loss, hostility, anger,
det som fremmer isolasjon, separasjon, ensomhet, tap, motsetninger og sinne,
cynicism, depression, alienation,
depresjon, adskilthet
and related feelings.
Og sånne følelser knyttet
All of these negative emotions.
Alle disse negative følelsene.
He says often leads to suffering, disease and premature death from all causes.
De leder ofte til lidelse, sykdom og for tidlig død fra mange kilder.
And then the punchline.
Og så kommer det selve poenget.
The scientific evidence, he says, leaves little doubt that love and intimacy are powerful determinants of our health and survival.
Det vitenskapelige materialet gir ikke rom for tvil om at kjærlighet og intimitet kraftige med saker som viser om vi kommer til å få helse og overlevelse.
And Dr. Ornish gives the scientific data to prove this.
Og Dr. Ornish viser fram de vitenskapelige dataene som beviser dette.
For example, if you and I have never met.
For eksempel, hvis du og jeg aldri har møttes.
And I come to you and I say, "Hello, my name is Ty."
Hei, jeg heter Ty.
We are having physical contact right now.
Så har vi fysisk kontakt akkurat
nå. And if you detect in my attitude a positive attitude.
Og hvis jeg oppdager en positiv holdning.
This physical contact immediately raises your white blood cell count.
Så blir de hvite blodcellene blir høyere.
So our contact has incrementally increased your biological well-being.
Så kontakten den øker bittelitt din biologiske velvære.
It's incremental because it's just a brief contact.
Det bittelitt for det bare en kort kontakt.
So if you were going to get a cold or the flu or cancer, you'll be fine now.
Så hvis du får forkjølelse eller kreft eller noe så kommer jeg til å ha det bra.
But that's just incremental. But imagine now.
Men det bare bitte lite grann, men tenk nå følgende.
Dr. Ornish is telling us.
Dr. Ornish forteller
that if you live in an environment, a social environment.
At hvis du lever i et sosialt forhold, et miljø
in which people live with love toward one another.
Der de lever med kjærlighet til hverandre.
Immunity to disease will increase and biological health will be more viable.
Där ökar immuniteten mot sjukdom och man har det bättre.
So Dr. Ornish, who's an unbeliever, he's not a Christian, he's not a theologian.
Och Dr. Ornish är inte troende, han är inte teolog, han
he's baffled by this data.
He's what?
He's baffled by the he's confused.
Han
he doesn't know what to do with it.
Han är förbavsad över dessa datorna.
So he says why they, that is love and intimacy, why they have such an impact remains somewhat a mystery.
Varför kärlighet och intimitet har en sån betydning, det är ett mysterium.
Why is it a mystery?
Varför är det ett mysterium?
Well, because all of the data of evolutionary biology,
för de alla datan som hör till evolutionär biologi,
suggest that survival of the fittest is the highest law.
De tyder jo på at det de aller beste som overlever.
That survival of the fittest in the form of self-preservation.
At det den selvbevaringen.
That this is the key factor.
At det nøkkelfaktoren.
But all the data that Dr. Ornish is discovering.
Men alle de dataene Ornish ser på.
Is suggesting that altruism, that love, in fact,
viser at altruisme, kjærlighet,
increases survival and longevity and health.
Det øker overlevelse og livslengde.
So here's a summary of all of Dr. Dean Ornish's research and a number of other scientists that are on the front edge of this field.
Her kommer en liten oppsummering av disse funnene.
There are two categories.
Det to kategorier.
There is the malfunction or dysfunction region of human experience.
Det da den dysfunksjonelle delen av menneskeheten.
And these are emotions and relational dynamics of racism and loneliness, isolation, envy, greed, hate and anger.
Det dreier seg om rasisme, ensomhet, isolasjon, anger, grådighet, hat.
All of these emotions and relational dynamics have something in common. All of them are self-centered.
Alle disse negative egenskapene har noe felles. De selvopptatte.
But then the scientific data is revealing that the optimal human experience, where biological health is at its peak.
Men så viser også dataene at de forholdene som fordrer at alt blir bedre,
is composed of emotions and relational dynamics like generosity and forgiveness and giving.
Det består av sånne ting som generositet og ta imot andre og vennlighet og tilgivelse.
And all of these emotions and relational dynamics have something in common.
Og alle disse følelsene i relasjonene, dynamikken i relasjonene, de har også noe
felles. All of them are other-centered in their orientation.
Alle disse følelsene sentrert mot andre.
In fact, Dr. Ornish has demonstrated.
Ornish har faktisk demonstrert.
For example, with generosity.
Når det gjelder gavmildhet.
That if you are wealthy.
Hvis du velstående.
Are you?
No.
No, but let's just imagine that you are.
Ja.
If you are wealthy and you have a lot of stuff, a lot of material goods.
Hvis jeg har masse materielle goder.
If you simply give some of your stuff away to those who do not have so many things.
Hvis du gir bort noe til dem som ikke har så mye.
This is hard science, not theology.
Dette vitenskap, ikke teologi.
Your health will increase because of your generosity.
Helsa di blir bedre fordi du gavmild.
This is remarkable.
Dette bemerkelsesverdig.
And to the degree that a person moves from the malfunction region to the optimization region, health will increase.
Og I den grad man beveger seg fra det dysfunksjonelle til det optimale, så blir helsa bedre.
So I want to suggest to you that the mad search for love in all the wrong places is becoming a public health crisis.
Jeg vil påstå at den frenetiske søken etter kjærlighet I alle de gale plassene, de har blitt et helseproblem.
In fact, just right across the ocean in Great Britain,
faktisk det sånn at I Storbritannia,
Theresa May has decided that this is such a big challenge to public health that she's going to tackle the problem.
Så har Theresa May bestemt at dette så stor en utfordring for den offentlige helsen at hun skal takle det.
She said in a recent interview, I want to confront this challenge. What challenge?
I et nylig intervju sa hun denne utfordringen skal jeg møte.
Well, she says the challenge of loneliness.
Utfordringen med ensomhet.
Human beings, she says, at an unprecedented level in her country are experiencing loneliness.
I hennes land det slik at folk I en helt ny I så stor grad opplever ensomhet.
So the British government has done something very odd.
Den britiske regjeringen har gjort noe veldig merkelig. De har faktisk
a minister of loneliness.
De har faktisk innsatt en minister for ensomhet.
They have a minister of finance.
De har en finansminister.
A minister of public defense.
De har en forsvarsminister.
A minister of education.
En utdanningsminister.
And now a minister of loneliness.
Og nå har de en ensomhetsminister.
Her entire job,
hele oppgaven hennes.
She just goes around the country just holding people in her arms.
Hun bare holder folk, det hennes
jobb. Just this one woman.
Bare hun, den ene
damen. That's her job.
Det hennes oppgave.
No, actually, she is mobilizing the resources of the government.
Nei, hun mobiliserer de ressursene regjeringen har.
To find solutions to the loneliness epidemic in Great Britain.
For å finne løsninger på ensomhetsepidemien I England.
This is fascinating.
Det fascinerende.
Now, just going over to my country, the United States of America.
Hvis du går til mitt land, USA.
This is amazing.
Så det helt
The number of people in the US right now that are being treated for depression has tripled over the last two decades.
I løpet av de siste to tiårene har antallet mennesker som blir behandlet for depresjon tredoblet seg.
Antidepressants, drugs that deal with depression,
antidepressiva mediciner,
are the top-selling drugs right now.
De som säljer allermest av mediciner I USA.
In the United States, one in 10 Americans now takes antidepressants, and the number is escalating.
En av 10 tar nå antidepressiva I USA, och antalet stiger.
And with our current presidency, we're all depressed.
Och med dagens president så blir vi alla nedtryckt.
Now, The Body Keeps a Score by Dr. Van der Kolk.
Og denne boken her, at kroppen holder regnskap.
Makes a remarkable contribution to our thinking.
Det en bemerkelsesverdig bidrag til tenkningen.
First of all, he informs us.
Så han informerer oss først og fremst.
That Medicaid, which in the United States is basically health insurance for the poor.
Og at helsetjenester som sykt, altså med helseforsikring for de fattige.
You don't have the poor in Norway, so you didn't have any way to translate that.
Okay, det var ikke så lett å oversette det.
Medicaid spends more on antipsychotic drugs than any other class of drugs.
Dette da helseforsikringen for de fattige, bruker mer penger på antipsykotiske mediciner enn noen annen medisinklasse.
And then Van der Kolk says this.
Og så sier
This is so crucial.
Dette avgjørende.
He says trauma, psychological, emotional trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder, any kind of trauma.
Psykologisk traumer.
Almost invariably involves not being seen.
Det dreier seg nesten alltid om ikke å bli sett.
And not being taken into account.
Og ikke bli regnet med.
This is so insightful.
Det ett virkelig viktig.
He's essentially
kunnskap.
Saying that if you exist,
han sier rett og slett at hvis du eksisterer,
without a sense that you are seen and taken into account by others,
uten at du føler at du blir sett eller regnet med av andre,
it is inevitable that psychologically and emotionally you will begin to break down.
Da det uunngåelig at du psykologisk vil bli brutt ned.
A human being desperately needs for his or her survival.
Et menneske trenger helt avgjørende for å overleve.
To be regarded by others as significant.
Å bli ansett blant andre for å være verdifull.
So he concludes.
Han avslutter med å si.
Van der Kolk says, feeling listened to and understood changes. Check this out. Changes physiology.
Følelsen av å bli lyttet til og forstått forandrer vår fysiologi.
Again, this isn't theology.
Dette ikke teologi.
This is science.
Dette vitenskap.
And science is saying that our biological, our physiological bodies change.
Og vitenskapen sier at det fysiske
for the better,
forandres til det bedre
when you are understood.
Når du blir forstått.
When you feel like you are in a conversation and the other party is listening.
När du känner att du är I en samtal och de andra förstår dig.
If you are respected in a relationship.
Hvis du blir respekterad I ett förhållande.
Your physiology will change in a positive direction.
Så vill fysiologin ändras positivt.
And Dr. Van der Kolk's research reveals that obsessions and addictions are basically filling or trying or attempting to fill the void that we feel for love, and I insert here God's love.
Vår avhengighet fyller det vakuumet som skapt av mangelen på Guds kjærlighet.
In other words, a human being is not merely a biological survival machine.
Kroppen en menneske ikke bare en biologisk overlevelsesmaskin.
A human being is a psycho-emotional biological love machine.
Vi en psykologisk, biologisk, social kjærlighetsmaskin.
So if this is the case,
hvis det sånn det henger sammen,
I want to introduce to you one of the most remarkable ideas.
Da vil jeg introdusere deg for en bemerkelsesverdig tanke.
I refer to it as the correspondence principle.
Jeg kaller det for korrespondanseprinsippet.
Here's how the correspondence principle works.
Det virker på denne måten.
It says that everything corresponds to something else.
Det sier at alt korresponderer til noe annet.
Nothing exists in isolation.
Ingenting eksisterer I
Everything is connected.
Alt knyttet sammen.
Now C.S. Lewis articulates the correspondence principle like this.
C.S. Lewis artikulerer dette på denne måten.
He says creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exist.
Skapninger ikke født med lengsler uten at disse lengslene kan tilfredsstilles.
And then he gives a few examples.
Og så gir han noen eksempler.
A baby feels hunger, well, there is such a thing as food.
En baby känner sult, alltså finns det mat.
So hunger is a desire that corresponds to the existence of a reality.
Sulten korresponderar till det att det faktiskt finns en realitet.
You're hungry, there's food.
Du sulten, det finns mat.
A duckling wants to swim.
En andekylling vill
well,
svimma.
Is such a thing as water.
Det finns vatten.
If there were no water in existence, the duckling would not want to swim.
Hvis det ikke fantes vann, ville andungen ikke ønske å svømme.
C.S. Lewis goes on.
C.S. Lewis fortsetter.
Men feel sexual desire. Well, there is such a thing as sex.
Menn kjenner en seksuell lengsel. Altså, det finnes sex.
Then he comes to his punchline.
Og så kommer poeng hans.
If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy.
Hvis jeg finner en lengsel I meg som ingen erfaring I verden kan tilfredsstille.
The most probable explanation
den mest
is that I was made for another world.
At jeg skapt for en annen verden.
Do you hear his point?
Hører du hva han sier?
It is a profound realization.
Det en dyp erkjennelse.
The entire scientific community,
hele vitenskapsverden,
is basically discovering
oppdage faktisk
that what the world needs,
at det verden trenger,
is what the church has to offer.
Er det kirken kan tilby.
Community,
fellesskap,
relationships,
forhold,
validation,
det å bli anerkjent,
significance,
betydelig å være betydelig,
to be seen and to be heard and to be understood,
å bli sett, hørt og forstått.
Science is discovering that human beings need precisely what Jesus came into the world to give.
Vitenskapen oppdager at verden trenger akkurat det Jesus kom for å gi.
Relational coherence.
En relasjon som henger sammen.
Now listen.
Hør på dette.
If all of this is true,
hvis alt dette er sant,
then the mission of the church,
da er kirkens oppdrag,
cannot be reduced to merely preaching messages.
Da kan oppdraget ikke reduseres bare til å forkynne budskap.
Doctrines and opinions and theological concepts.
Doktriner, tanker, teologiske konsepter.
If this is true,
hvis dette er sant,
what the world needs,
så er det verden behøver,
is not merely to be preached at,
det er ikke bare å bli forkynt til,
but to be received,
men å bli tatt imot,
to be accepted, to be loved,
godtatt,
to be brought into fellowship,
og ført inn I et fellesskap.
We're making a huge evangelistic mistake.
Vi gjør et kjempefeil evangelistisk.
By preaching before we are living out God's love in our community.
Ved å forkynne før vi lever ut Guds kjærlighet I vårt lokalsamfunn.
The world is on a mad search for something.
Verden leter besatt etter kjærlighet.
And it's not merely information.
Og det er ikke bare informasjon.
The world is on a mad search for love.
Verden er besatt av å finne kjærlighet.
The question is, will we position ourselves in the world to point them to the one and only true and transcendent love?
Kommer vi til å stille oss slik at vi kan rette deres oppmerksomhet til den sanne kjærligheten?
Okay, so next time you go to the grocery store.
Så neste gang du går I butikken.
Next time you eat Mexican food.
Neste gang du spiser meksikansk mat.
Next time you buy salsa.
Neste gang du kjøper salsa.
I have a few things to close with.
Da vil jeg at du skal.
Do not stand behind any person in the grocery store.
Stå ikke bak noen I butikken.
Within an arm's length.
På en armlengdes avstand.
Allow space.
Gi litt rom.
This is my first bit of advice.
Dette første råd.
Number two.
Nummer to.
If you do not allow enough space and somebody you are not married to is holding your hand,
hvis du ikke har gitt nok rom og noen du ikke gift med plutselig tar din hånd,
and if they are asking your opinion about salsa,
og hvis de spør deg om råd om salsaen,
whatever you do,
uansett hva du gjør,
do not offer your opinion.
Ikke gi det rådet.
Run.
Løp.
From the salsa aisle.
Fra salsa.
Number three.
Nummer tre.
The next time you eat Mexican food or buy salsa or go to the grocery store.
Neste gang du spiser meksikansk mat eller kjøper meksikansk mat.
Remember this.
Husk dette.
That every single person in the world
at hver eneste person
is running up and down the aisles looking for sweetie pie.
Løper opp og ned I butikken for å finne kjærlighet.
Every person in the world is searching for love.
Alle ønsker kjærlighet.
And Jesus is that true love.
Og Jesus den sanne kjærlighet.
Our job, our calling,
vårt oppdrag
is to make that introduction.
Og introdusere dem til ham.
Thanks for your time this
Takk
morning.
For meg.